please be seated. Kids ages 3 through 4th grade are welcome to go back to Children's Church together and enjoy your time back there. We're going to enjoy our time here as we continue in the Gospel of John. The story of Philip and Nathanael is before us. Let us pray. God, thank you for little voices as they exit the sanctuary. Bless them, our kids, and bless us in this time together that we would know your presence. Help us in this moment to surrender to you anything that would hinder us from hearing your good news, this gospel today. You have words for us, Lord God, each according to our need. And so give us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to understand, and most importantly, hearts to receive the great gift of your word. We pray then that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a pastor, or as pastors, Pastor Corey and I get some pretty difficult questions. Questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? Questions like, I prayed in earnest, but my mom wasn't healed and died. Questions like, Pastor, why, after 30 years of marriage, did my spouse walk out on me? These are difficult questions and some of life's most important questions. But what, if you think about it, is the most important question? Is there one that we're each asked to answer that's the most important question? In New Scientist magazine, this was actually a article series way back in 2006, if you can remember it. They were answering the big questions. They came up with these. So from week to week, they would write an article. The questions were, what is reality? That's a good one. That's pretty big. That's a great question. Or what is life? Or what is consciousness? What happens after you die? Do we have free will? These are big questions. These are great questions. These are important questions. These are meaningful questions. But are they the greatest question that we will answer in our lives? I would suggest to you that they are not. That they, yes, serve a purpose, but they are fulfilled then and answered in the greatest question. And who do you suppose asked that question? Jesus, all right, Paul, yes. That's the Sunday school kid answer. Whenever you're asked a question by the pastor or your Sunday school teacher, the answer is always, well, Jesus, of course. And it happens to be true in this case that Jesus asked the most important question. The story goes, as Jesus was with his disciples, that he asked them, who do people say that I am? Now, this is a pretty easy question because the disciples now can answer what they've been hearing. It doesn't put them on the spot. I think Jesus is loosening them up, preparing them for the greatest question. And so they replied, well, some, Jesus, think you're a great prophet. Some think you're Elijah. There are even maybe some who think you're the Messiah. But then after they answer, Jesus stops and he says, who do you say that I am? That's a tough question. And I would suggest to you that's the greatest question ever asked in human history. And that question is asked of you today and every person as they have lived or will live their life. Who do you say I am? Today we're catching up with two more disciples that are being called now to Jesus. Last week we heard about Andrew and Peter, brothers, and so Andrew went to Peter, he found him, he told him about Jesus, and then brought him to Jesus. Today in our text, we have Philip now to Nathanael, and he is practicing, I don't know if you picked up on this, but he is practicing the exact same formula that Andrew used to introduce Peter to Jesus. Did you hear those words? So Philip found Nathanael. Andrew found Peter. Philip told Nathanael. Andrew told Peter. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, Nathanael exclaims, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? We're going to get to that question of Nathanael's. But then lastly, what does Philip do? The third part of the formula. He makes an invitation to Nathanael. Come and see. Come and see this Jesus for yourself. This is church growth evangelism 101. Do you know how many books are written on church growth and evangelism in Christianity today? There are hundreds. There are thousands. There might even be 100,000. But this is a simple formula. It's a three-step process to evangelize, to tell others about Christ. So I want you to take a moment on your blue slip or in your mind. I left a blank in your blue slip, and as I look at you, some of your minds are blank, so it's going to work out great. So we're going to remember right now and ask God, who do I put in this blank space? Andrew, put Peter there. Philip, put Nathanael there. Who is God putting on your heart? And then I would suggest to you, as you think about that name or you write that name down, that you begin to pray about this three-step process. How will you find this person? Will you go to their home? Will you see them at the office by the water cooler? Maybe they're a classmate and you'll eat lunch together. Maybe you'll invite this friend or neighbor or loved one out to coffee. So the first step is you find them. The second step then is that you tell them. And what is it that you tell them? You tell them simply, I have found Jesus. You don't even have to use his name if that's too scary for you. You can say, I have found the one who has made the difference in my life for always and forever. Simply tell them, this is how Jesus has affected me. And then lastly, you give them a simple invitation. Come and see for yourself. Who is this person? Do you have a clear picture? Have you written them down on your blue slip or in your mind? Last week, Amanda said, our job as Christians is to say to those in our lives, look, there is Jesus. Who will you say, look, there is Jesus? Now back to our great question. And so the greatest question is the question Jesus asked his disciples, is the question we consider today. I can imagine Nathanael thinking to himself, well, 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 who have we here? Messianic expectation was high in the first century. They knew something, the people of Israel, knew something was happening around them. And so they were looking behind every bush and under every rock. Messiah, Messiah, prophet, Elijah, where are you? And so Nathanael is probably expecting to hear news. And so when Philip comes and says to him, guess who I found? Jesus of Nazareth, who is the son of Joseph. And he is the one Moses wrote about in the law. Nathanael has two questions now for Philip. The first is, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Now, who here is from Nazareth? Nobody? I'm surprised, Corey. I'm surprised. You're not from Nazareth, but if you were and you heard Nathanael's words, how would you respond? What a ripoff! Nazareth is great. That's where I'm from. That's an insult. And Nathanael means this to be insulting. You see, first off, Judeans had little love for Galileans. Judah is the southern kingdom, Israel is the northern kingdom, and in the first century, Jerusalem was in the southern and still is in the southern kingdom. And this is the hub and activity for Israel. And then the northern kingdom and its extension east would include Galilee. But those from the south did not like those from the north. And so Nathanael says, Nazareth, Nazareth, that's in Galilee. What good can come from there? And furthermore, Nathanael, also a Galilean, but from Cana, is concerned that Nazareth is now producing the Messiah. And we know that Nathanael is from Cana because in John 21, let's see, we're in John 1, so 20 chapters from now. I may not be alive to see this text. The prophet, the apostle John writes, Simon Peter and Thomas, also known as Didymus, and Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that would be Andrew and Peter, and two other disciples were together. That would be John and James, sorry, sons of Zebedee. And so we know that Nathanael is from Cana, and Canaanites did not like Nazarites. Did any of you read Pastor Corey's sabbatical report? He gave an oral report at our annual meeting. And he talked about a place in England that he visited that, I don't know if I'm getting this exactly right, but it was kind of the armpit of his trip. Do you remember that place? Liverpool. And Corey warned us, those who would go and visit Europe, you can skip that city, Liverpool. Nazareth is the Liverpool of Israel. And so Judeans had little love for Galileans, and all the more, Galileans had little love for Nazarites. But the Messiah would come from Nazareth. Now, the people didn't really recognize this, the people of Israel. They thought and knew that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And the Davidic kingly city is where? I'm going to test your knowledge of history. Where? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. That's the city of David. And so we, as Nathanael and Andrew and Peter and Philip, are getting to know Jesus. They thought he was from Nazareth, not knowing he was actually born in Bethlehem. And so, of course, they're confused. But in our Old Testament reading, as Jim read it for us, Isaiah in chapter 9, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. And then Isaiah 9:6, and he, the Messiah, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Nazareth, what good can come from Nazareth? Well, apparently, the greatest gift ever given in Jesus Christ. Nathaniel's second question was, how do you know me? Can anything good come from Nazareth, and how do you know me? Now Jesus can prove to Nathaniel, yes, something good can come from Nazareth. And Jesus replies with an answer that is not just observed the natural. Jesus has seen Nathaniel under the tree. And as Nathaniel approached, Jesus said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And so Jesus is now speaking to the inner character of Nathaniel. He recognizes Nathaniel and has a deep understanding, one would say a supernatural understanding of Nathaniel. And Nathaniel recognizes that, hey, Jesus can see like a prophet into me and into my life. And all of a sudden, he changes. His story changes, and he answers this greatest question. You see, at first, Nathaniel's answer to the greatest question, who have we here, is lacking. Well, just another Nazirite. But now he answers this question, having recognized Jesus for who he really is. Nathaniel's faithful conclusion is this: Rabbi, he begins with this term of submission and surrender. He's now put Jesus above himself as a teacher of Israel. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. By the way, this is the same expression that was translated in 1 and verse 34. Pastor Corey didn't like the translation. It was the chosen one of Israel. This is the same word. So sometimes the NIV gets it right. But this is the Son of God. He says, then you are the King of Israel. Who do you say I am? You are, says Nathaniel, the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Paul in Romans 1, at the very beginning after his introduction in verse 1, in verses 2 through 4, talks about who Jesus is. He says, the gospel he promised, that is, God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. We know this, how? Because he was born in Bethlehem, and we can track his lineage. Verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness, that's the Holy Spirit, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer to the question Jesus asks of us. Who do you say I am? Our answer should simply say, Jesus, you are the fulfillment of the good news, that is the gospel, that God has promised through the whole of Scripture. And as a descendant of David from Bethlehem, though living in Nazareth, you were appointed by the Holy Spirit to be God's Son, who lived and died and rose that we might have life and life eternal. We like to avoid big questions, sometimes not even consider them. Questions like, what is life? Or do I have free will? Or what is reality? Or what happens after I die? Because those take us to space that's complicated and may lead us down roads that bring pain and hurt and sorrow. But this question, who do you say that I am, cannot be avoided, must be hit head on. And so, what do you say when I ask you about Jesus Christ? Who have we here? Amen.